We present the unbelievable truth, the panel game built on truth and lies. In the chair, please welcome David Mitchell.
Hello and welcome to the unbelievable truth, the panel show about incredible truths and barely credible lies. I'm David Mitchell. Welcome to our live theatre audience, all huddled together for warmth, trying to save on their enormous energy bills. Please welcome Lou Sanders, Ria Lina, Chris McCausland and Milton Jones. The rules are as follows. Each panellist will present a short lecture that should be entirely false, save for five hidden truths which their opponent should try to identify. Points are scored by truths that go unnoticed, while other panellists can win points if they spot a truth, or lose points if they mistake a lie for a truth. First up is Chris McCausland. Chris has a hereditary condition called retinitis pigmentosa, which started affecting his sight as a teenager. In his 20s, he decided on a change of career and became a comedian. Well, it was that or a premiership referee. Chris, your subject is computers, programmable electronic devices that can store, retrieve and process information. Off you go, Chris. Fingers on buzzers, the rest of you.
The word data comes from the Latin deuterium, which means numerical results. In computer lingo, a quarter of a byte is called a morsel, whilst half a byte is known as a nibble and 2 bytes is a mouthful.
Rhea.
Half a byte's a nibble. Yum, yum, yum.
You're absolutely right.
Oh.
Yes, yeah.
Yum, 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 yum.
The word for just 2 bits, or half a nibble, is a crumb.
The crumbs are between the keys in your keyboard.
They certainly are. Yeah.
I did actually.
And that's not the worst part of it. Lou, I was talking about soup.
I did actually make up crumb as a lie, and then when I Googled it, turns out I've made up a truth accidentally. So I replaced it with morsel.
Milton.
Data was on Star Trek.
You're right, there was a character called Data on Star Trek, yes, yeah. But it's not a truth that Chris asserted,
no,
so there won't be any points right. involved, but but thank you. Lou.
I liked Star Trek as well.
Well, why don't we just make it a chat show?
This show is different to what I thought it was going to be.
I'll be honest with you, Chris, it's a bit different from norm.
On early computers, the shift key was originally known as the lift key, whilst caps lock was called shout!
Lou.
Was the shift key the lift key?
No.
Cool. Yeah.
The at sign is known by 27 different names around the world. In Canada, it's a Swiss roll. In Denmark, it's a pig's tail. In Slovakia, it's a pickled herring. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, it's a Richard herring. The original name for the computer mouse was the point and clicker. And of course, a nightmare for vegetarians is the mouse mouse, which is a computer mouse housed inside the skin of a dead mouse. A man in Iceland who lost his hand in a freak workplace accident had it replaced with a wireless computer mouse, which meant that he could no longer pick things up. Instead, he'd just drag and drop everything.
Milton.
That would be quite useful in a supermarket.
Or being able to drag and drop.
Yeah, things. In Iceland. Oh!
I'm always forgetting that Iceland is the name of both a country and a supermarket.
Yeah. That wasn't a very good holiday you had, was it?
Yeah. And a man in Finland who lost a finger in a motorcycle accident had it replaced with a USB drive, so I suppose it meant he could at least megabyte his nails. It is possible to contract a computer virus if you insert any part of yourself into a contaminated computer. Especially one with an STD drive. Some famous computer viruses include the slushy virus, which caused tens of thousands of US government computers to get brain freeze and need factory resetting. The laundry virus, which caused computer screens to be transformed into front-loading washing machines. And the miracle virus, which almost, and I repeat almost, made Windows 8 usable.
Rhea.
I think one of them's a real virus. I think it's a slushy virus.
That's not true, I'm afraid. Chris.
Well, I've only got one line left, and it is, and thus concludes my lecture on the history of Poland.
Thank you, Chris. And at the end of that round, Chris, you've managed to smuggle four truths past the rest of the panel. The first truth is that the at sign is known as a pickled herring in Slovakia. The second truth is that the mouse is a computer mouse housed inside the skin of a dead mouse. It was the brainchild of Americans Christy Kaneda and Noah Weinstein. They recommend using dead albino mice for the task, as albino mouse skin is sufficiently translucent for the optical sensor to scan through it in order for the mouse to function properly. And the third truth is that a man in Finland lost a finger in a motorcycle accident and had it replaced with a USB drive, which he accesses by peeling back his prosthetic fingernail. Wow. He says, when people first see it, they get really horrified. They just can't take it as a joke. So usually they need a little time before they understand that this is a really funny solution. And the fourth truth is that the viruses, it's the laundry virus was true. It caused computer screens to be transformed into front-loading washing machines. Other early computer viruses included the Cookie Monster virus, which would freeze your computer until you sated its appetite by typing the word cookie. So it was all a lot more fun before the Russians got involved. And that means, Chris, you've scored 4 points. In 1983, US President Ronald Reagan gave the Queen a gift of a Hewlett-Packard computer. A slow processor with very little memory, Reagan remained in the White House till 1988. The Vatican named a 6th century bishop, Isidore, the patron saint of computers and the internet, because he wrote books on grammar, astronomy, and world history, and he tried to record everything ever known in an encyclopedia. And the clincher, he had a massive porn collection. Okay, we turn now to Lou Sanders. Lou is completely vegan, so if she got COVID and lost her sense of taste and smell, it wouldn't actually make any difference. Lou, your subject is magazines, periodical publications featuring articles and illustrations, often aimed at a particular readership. Off you go, Lou.
In America, more young adults read magazines than browse the internet. Dad's Washing Up Dishes is the most popular magazine, and the weekly publication features scantily clad men pretending to wash up and saying things like, "When the bubbles come out, Daddy's about." Um, 117 different women have appeared on the cover of Vogue magazine, closely followed by 90 dogs, 3 giraffes, and 1 piggy. To be fair, it was a really fit pig, though.
Chris.
One of them's got to be true. It can't be that there's been almost as many dogs as women on the cover. So I'm going to go with the pig.
One pig.
One pig.
Really fit
pig.
And can you clarify if you think it was really fit or not?
For a pig, it was stunning.
Yeah.
No, there has strangely never been a pig on the cover of Vogue.
Yet.
What is Vogue thinking? Milton.
I think there were 190-something women on the cover of Vogue magazine.
Real headlines from tabloid magazines include, "I fell in love with a goat and cancelled my wedding," "I turned my dead hubby into tea bags," and "Bride with egg on her face, he swapped our dream wedding for a Kinder egg." Bi-weekly magazine.
Chris.
3 giraffes.
Far too late.
No, I think the "I fell in love with a goat and cancelled my wedding" sounds like a crazy headline.
But it's not about me, you know that, don't you?
It is not true. There was no such headline. Though there was a magazine headline, "I fell in love with a cow and cancelled my wedding," which appeared in Australia's Take 5 magazine. So it's very close to the truth.
Take 10, they're big animals. Bi-weekly magazines are the most popular. Which is amazing because I only find the time to be bi about once a year at the Christmas party. Gordon Brown has appeared on the front cover of Playboy magazine, but disappointingly was fully clothed. And in her teens, Fiona Bruce posed for a load of romantic photo stories for Jackie magazine.
Rhea.
She's beautiful. I'd like that to be true.
This is absolutely true. Well done. A 15-year-old Fiona Bruce used to model for Jackie magazine as a Saturday job for which she was paid £3 an hour. She said, "It was a great gig. I needed boys to be in it with me, so I used to pick the ones I fancied from school, and then I got to kiss them." So there you go.
When Spy magazine sent checks for 13 cents to some of the world's richest people, no one cashed them except a Saudi arms dealer, Donald Trump, and Julius Wahala.
Chris.
I think Donald Trump probably cashed the check for 13 cents.
You're absolutely right. He did. Yeah. Two people cashed them, Donald Trump and arms dealer Adnan Khashoggi.
Winter is quoted as saying at a corporate do, "People say that print media is dead, but I know that's not true. And I tell you why, because my auntie Patricia is dead and no one is spreading her out on a table to flick through."
Thank you, Lou. And at the end of that round, Lou, you've managed to smuggle three truths past the rest of the panel. Which are that in America, more young adults read magazines than browse the internet. According to the American Association of Magazine Media, in 2021, 95% of adults aged 18 to 29 read magazines, compared with 91.8% who browsed the internet and 81% who used Facebook. The second truth is that 90 dogs have been on the cover of Vogue since it was founded in 1892.
Oh, wow.
The magazine's first editor, Josephine Redding, who served until 1900, was known to prefer animals to fashion. And editions of Vogue during her tenure were filled with dogs and other animals. And the third truth is, the headline that's true is, "I turned my dead hubby into tea bags." Other strange headlines from tabloid magazines include, "My dog found love on Tinder," "God paid my gas bill," "Bride denied, he swapped our dream wedding for a kebab," and "My bra is haunted." And that means, Lou, that you've scored 3 points. Next up is Rhea Lena. Rhea has a degree in experimental pathology, a PhD in viral bioinformatics, and an MSc in forensic science and technology. Very much the thinking man's Chris Whitty. Rhea, your subject is the human body, the whole physical structure of a person, including bones, flesh, organs, head, and limbs. Off you go, Rhea.
If your large and small intestines were laid out end to end, you went to the wrong surgeon. In the womb, humans actually grow 3 pairs of nipples, but the second 2 are sloughed off during childbirth. And if you've ever wondered whether the nipples on men actually have a function, scientists have recently found that without them, there'd be nowhere to put the clamps. The Japanese word for the dangly thing in the back of your throat, nodochinko, translates as throat penis, and their word for tonsils...
Lou.
I think throat penis is true.
It is true.
Yes.
The wrist is referred to as the hand neck, the ankle as the leg neck, and snot is referred to as hanakuzo, or nose shit.
And their word for tonsils, scrotoni, means neck balls. Your explanation really killed that joke.
I'm sorry, it just came in then. That's when the buzz came.
Can you check with me before you do that again?
They can re-edit it.
I know, it just would have got a bigger laugh.
They don't use the laughs from these people. They've got people watching, you know, Groundhog Day or something amazing. They use those laughs and they put them on this.
Do they watch it every time you record the show, or they just watch it the one time over and over again?
These are laughs. These are laughs that the BBC have been using for 100 years. So every laugh you hear on Radio 4 is someone who's died.
The tongue has 5 taste buds and they all taste like chicken.
Milton.
Does the tongue have 5 taste buds?
No, it has 10,000.
Then and just a lot more as well.
I think that the implication was that was the total number.
Yeah.
Otherwise, would you accept that there are 6 people in a football team? Well, there are.
In a 5-a-side, there's not.
That's very true.
But kudos for using a sports analogy, David. That's a new one for you. The most sensitive part of the human body is the male ego.
No, it's Milton. Not.
The most satisfying place to scratch in the human body is the ankle, which produces sensations similar to having sex, which is why my husband weeps after doing it. That's the last time I give him woolen socks for his birthday. In the human abdomen, the appendix is usually situated between the index and the epilogue. Such a Radio 4 joke.
That's why I didn't get it.
Body parts are always named after the person who discovered them. Except in the skull, you'll find Rutherford's ridge, which is neither a ridge nor was it discovered by Rutherford.
Chris.
I think that there's a part of the brain called Rutherford's ridge.
No, there isn't. I'm afraid it's in Antarctica.
I mean, that is where I do some of my best thinking.
The human nose never stops growing.
Lou.
That is true.
It does stop growing.
No, it doesn't. Check your facts again.
Okay, I'm just going to check my fact again. No, it doesn't.
It does stop growing. The nose stops growing.
Yes.
Well, and the ears.
Well, take a look at mine and explain what the hell is going on there.
Well, the thing is, if it hasn't stopped growing, it will.
But the
phrase "the human nose never stops growing" to be true, it would be necessary for your nose never to stop growing.
Otherwise, the
graves of the dead would be pierced with noses growing upwards towards the sky.
But they could grow a little bit. I saw a man in Wetherspoons, and honestly, his nose had not stopped growing. It was out here.
I think what you're referring to is a large nose. Not an eternally growing one.
Fine, I didn't want to.
Do you want to know why?
Yeah.
Okay, so they're made of cartilage, the nose and the ear. So actually, as you get older, it loosens and it kind of droops and sags, and that's why ears and noses look like they grow and change.
What is my boobies made of cartilage?
Honey, I wish.
Okay, carry on then.
Yeah.
People often confuse the German word Nasenschleim for the medical term mucus, but no, it's snot. The word muscle comes from the Latin meaning little mouse, which is what ancient Romans thought flexed bicep muscles resembled.
Chris. Little mouse.
Muscle, little mouse?
Yes.
Absolutely right.
Yes. I didn't realise how desperate for the point I was until you said right.
Yes, the word muscle is derived from the Latin word musculus, mus meaning mouse, and sculus meaning little. They were so called because the shape and movement of some muscles were thought to resemble mice running under the skin. For me, it's more like a sort of cockroach.
Barbie was banned in Sweden for setting unrealistic body goals for young women.
Lou.
I think Barbie might have been banned.
It was not banned in Sweden, though it has been temporarily banned in Saudi Arabia and Russia and permanently in Iran.
Yeah.
It takes the world's 3 most sensible countries, Saudi Arabia, Russia and Iran, to do whatever, you know, well done.
I think in Saudi Arabia, Ken's got no hands as well.
Not only that, but Barbie doesn't have enough fat on her body to go through her first period, which is lucky because Barbie tampons are really difficult to insert.
Thank you, Rhea. And at the end of that round, Rhea, you've managed to smuggle three truths past the rest of the panel. Which are that the most satisfying place to scratch on the human body is the ankle, which produces sensations similar to having sex. This is from a study from the British Journal of Dermatology. The second truth is that the German word Nasenschleim means snot. In German, a nostril is a Nasenloch, or nose hole, and gums are Zahnfleisch, or tooth meat. And the third truth is that Barbie doesn't have enough fat on her body to go through her first period. I assume that's if she were a human, because actually she's entirely plastic. And that means, Rhea, you've scored 3 points. It's now the turn of Milton Jones. Milton is widely regarded as the second funniest Milton in comedy after Milton Keynes. Your subject, Milton, is golf, a game played on a large open-air course in which a small hard ball is struck with a club into a series of small holes in the ground. Off you go, Milton.
So I did some research, and now I've got a great big bag of facts about golf here, and my friend Colin is going to caddy for me. What do you reckon, Colin? Okay, I need a big one to start. In July 2021, actor Clint Eastwood collapsed in a golf equipment warehouse. It's taken him a while to recover. In fact, he's still not out of the woods yet. The Royal and Ancient Golf Club of St Andrews still doesn't allow women to join. They even turned down the first woman to play golf, Mary Queen of Scots, even though she was royal and ancient.
Rhea.
I should know this because I went to St. Andrews, but they definitely have an issue with women. So something womeny and and golfy what? In that paragraph. Okay, it's either that or Mary Queen of Scots. Well, no, she was busy getting beheaded. So I'm going to go with the women at St. Andrews because she grew up in France, so I don't know that she ever got to St. Andrews.
So you're saying that they don't allow women to join at the Royal and Ancient?
Yeah.
I'm afraid they do allow women to join.
They do allow women.
And they have done since 2014.
So I don't know what issues you think they have.
As young as I look, I was at uni there before 2014 and they didn't. So
yes.
It was true when I was there.
Maybe they don't let women join because they're bad drivers.
Ooh. Yeah. Chris, you're not a great driver yourself, mate.
I'm better at driving than golf.
Colin, the ball is now in Mary Queen of Scots' shirt collar. You were in the rough. When astronaut Alan Shepard hit a golf ball on the moon, the Royal and Ancient Golf Club's Rules Committee chastised him for not replacing the divot. When he went back into space some 23 years later at the age of 78, he forgot what he went up for.
Chris.
I think that maybe he was chastised for not replacing whatever he disrupted on the moon when he took his shot.
You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Anyone is allowed to turn up and play in the US Open, but to enter the Bob Jones Open golf tournament, you must be named Bob Jones.
Chris.
I'm going to say that there's a Bob Jones Open.
I'm going to say
that. And you need
to
be called Bob Jones to enter. It's only for people called Bob Jones.
Correct. Yes. Yes, it's named after Bob or Bobby Jones. Considered to be the greatest amateur golfer of all time.
In 1999, a father and son, both called Bob Jones, came first and second respectively, but the son claimed to be a little below par. Golf was invented in 1492 by Mad Jimmy McArdle of Troon, who would wander the heather with a stick knocking boiled eggs into rabbit holes. Surprisingly, it never caught on until the first officially documented golf match, which was between James IV and the Earl of Bothwell in February 1504.
Rhea.
It was invented in 1492.
No, it wasn't. The Dutch, French and Scottish all claim to have invented golf at various points between the 13th and 16th centuries. And recently it was revealed that the Chinese were playing a game very like it 1,000 years ago.
At Muirfield, the prize for winning the Masters tournament is a mortarboard gown and cane and free biscuits in the common room. In Augusta, the PGA winner gets a Mossberg Viper combat rifle, and the trophy for the Morocco's King Hassan golf tournament is a jewel-encrusted dagger. If the competition is drawn, it goes to sudden death.
Chris.
The dagger.
You're absolutely right.
Wow. It's
the... The winner of Morocco's King Hassan golf tournament receives a jewel-encrusted golden dagger, plus a lump sum in cash.
President Trump banned a woman from his Mar-a-Lago golf course for hitting a 200-yard drive and then shouting, "Donald Duck."
Lou.
I think that's true.
It isn't.
Oh.
Well, that's all we've got time for. Good caddy and Colin. You've pulled it out of the bag there.
Thank you, Milton. At the end of that round, Milton, you've managed to smuggle two truths past the rest of the panel, which are that Mary, Queen of Scots, is the first known female golfer and often referred to, in fact, as the mother of golf, a game she's believed to have learned in France. Mary is even credited with introducing the word caddy into golf's lexicon. In France, military cadets carried golf clubs for royalty and were referred to as cadets. And the second truth is that the first officially documented golf match, which was between James IV and the Earl of Bothwell, occurred in February 1504. And that means, Milton, you've scored 2 points. During the 1984 Memphis Classic, professional golfer Gary McCord split his trousers open, revealing that he had no underwear on, giving spectators a spectacular view of the number two hole. Which brings us to the final scores. In fourth place, with minus 2 points, we have Rialina. In third place, with minus 1 point, it's Lou Sanders. In second place, with no points, it's Milton Jones. And in first place, with an unassailable 5 points, it's this week's winner, Chris McCorkin. That's about it for this week. Goodbye.
Unbelievable Truth was devised by John Naismith and Graham Garden and featured David Mitchell in the chair with panellists Lou Sanders, Milton Jones, Rialina and Chris McCausland. The chairman's script was written by Dan Gaster and Colin Swash, and the producer was John Naismith. It was a random production for BBC Radio 4.